south of New Zealand. And can we have some house lights when we get a chance? And so we all went over to the wedding, and we thought while we were there we'd do a bit of a tour around New Zealand. So being young guys, we were all in our early 20s. So before we left Australia, we thought, well, while we're there, we're definitely going bungee jumping. So we arrived at Queenstown. That's the place where they do all that adventure stuff. Anyone been to Queenstown, New Zealand? Yeah, great place. Anyway, there was a mate of mine that was on the trip with me, and we'd wake up every single morning, and he would say, hey, are we going bungee jumping this morning? I just want to do it. I just want to get it out of the way, because he was freaking out. And I'd say, no, we'll go rafting today or something like that. So off we'd go, and the next morning again, hey, are we going bungee jumping today? I want to get it out of the way. We'll go and do something else. Anyway, eventually we the morning comes and we all pack up and we get in the hire bus that we had, and we drive up to this great big bridge. And that's where you go bungee jumping. And I can remember we're watching there, and we're watching people jumping off. And the most amazing thing was that one of the first people we saw was this Asian girl that she was ready to go. And what they had is that these big New Zealand guys, there was a big Maori guy, and he used to do the countdown, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Anyway, sometimes, you know, people would balk, so there'd be 3, 2, 1, and now they and that's stay there. Anyway, this little girl, she's ready to go, and they count her down, and she sort of half jumps, and then she tries to balk back, and she just toppled over, and it was like, ah, all the way down. Anyway, the cord didn't break, she was all right. So we all go out, and these big sort of macho 20-year-olds from Australia, and out we go, and I still remember my brother, my youngest brother was there with us, and we go out, and we get to the edge, and my brother, he's walking out, and you had to walk out on these little ramp things to jump off, and I've never seen anyone walk like it before, but he's sort of walking like this. Anyway, and I can still remember that feeling as we're all standing there. We didn't do it together. That would have been really cool. But we're all standing there, and I remember this feeling of the bungee cord around the legs, and just waiting to go to jump off this massive bridge, and they'd weigh you up, and they'd do it all. And they said to the other guys, who wants to do a water touch? And the other guys didn't, so I said I would. And I remember this feeling. We're there. And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Anyway, away I went off, and I thought, well, I'm going to do a water touch. I've got to pull this thing off. I've got to get it together. So I'm out. I do the big swan dive, and I said to the guy before, how far in the water I go? Oh, no, you'll just touch it with your fingers. And I remember I went in right up to about here. And of course, it happens that quick, as the bungee cord rips you back out again. And then you were supposed to, there was a sign on the side of the bridge that said, take coins out of your pocket. Anyway, I think I was focusing on other things. And I'm going back up and down on the bungee cord. All these coins are just sort of spraying across the water everywhere. It's all right. It was New Zealand currency. It wasn't worth very much. But was I scared? Was I scared when I stood on the edge of that platform? I told my brother and my mate that I wasn't. I said, you're scared. I'm not scared. But I was freaking out. I was packing it on the inside. And away we went. And what I want to say is I loved what the girls were talking about tonight, is that sometimes fear actually will come into our life, and sometimes fear has a way of actually gripping us and almost paralyzing us and stopping us doing some of the things that we're supposed to do. And some of those things that we can fear sometimes, we can think, well, I'm too young, I haven't got it together. Or I love what the t-shirt said, I'm too skinny. It doesn't happen to me, I never fear that. Or I'm too broken, or I'm too lost, or I'm too ugly. Maybe I deal with that one. But there are always things in life that we're going to fear. But occasionally, I want to say to you that I want to talk just a smidge more about dealing with fear, but I want to say that sometimes we've actually got to feel the fear and do it anyway. Sometimes you've got to feel the fear and do it anyway. When I stood on the edge of that bungee bridge, yes, I felt the fear, but I did it anyway. I put my faith and I put my trust in a rope that I believed wasn't going to break and was going to pull me back up, and everything was all cool. Because I actually felt the fear. I was scared stiff, but I was prepared to do it anyway. In my family, we grew up and we had two dogs. We had a great big German Shepherd, and we had a little corgi. Now, this little corgi was amazing. She was absolutely scared of nothing. It didn't matter what dog came past. It didn't matter what person came past. She actually thought she was the German Shepherd. She thought she was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. She would go at anything. Now the German Shepherd, he was, as German Shepherds go, he was actually a big German Shepherd. And things would actually scare him all the time. We used to take him water skiing. And we did. We had little skis on. No, we didn't. But we used to... We had these little skis, and he put them on his paws, and he used to hold the rope in his mouth, and he was just amazing. Wouldn't that have been cool? Awesome. But we used to take him water skiing with us, and he used to love it up there. He used to go around everybody's barbecue and pinch food and just get fat and all that. But some reason he thought my brother and I, he thought we were just it. You know, we were his favourite people in the world. And when we were gone, he would actually start to panic. And sometimes we'd go out in the boat, if one of us was driving and the other one was skiing, sometimes we used to go in Lake Barrington, and the dog, we'd find him right out in the middle of the lake. He would actually swim after us. And we'd have to pick this stupid dog up out in the middle of the boat lake and try and get him into the boat without him scratching it and all that. Because what happened when we left, he actually became gripped by fear. So he was up there, this great big German Shepherd at Lake Barrington with everybody. He's freaking out. And at home is this little corgi that's strutting around, absolutely scared of nobody or anything whatsoever. Because for some reason, this little corgi had just overcome her fear. She, I don't know whether she hadn't come unstuck enough times or what had happened, but she had absolutely no fear, and she could achieve nearly anything. She thought, but we had this great big German Shepherd, and at times he'd be really brave, but at times he would do really silly things because he was actually ruled and he was governed by fear. You see, I believe that we program ourselves to be controlled by fear. What's your mum say to you when you go off to school? Does she say, "Hey, it's fantastic you're going to school today. You're going to come across all sorts of things. Why don't you take a risk? Why don't you ride your bike down the hill a little bit faster? Why don't you go around the corner and let it all hang out?" You know, your mum doesn't say that sort of thing. She says, "Remember, what if, be careful of... Have you got clean underwear on? You might have an accident." I mean, she's actually programming you that something bad is going to happen. Did you know that it's actually proven that 90%, that 90% of what we worry about will never happen? Did you know that means that we are living in 10% of 100% reality? Because you know, 90% of the things that we spend all our time and energy worrying about most likely won't happen. Yes, stuff does happen, but 90% of what we worry about probably won't happen. So we find ourselves living in 10% of 100% reality. And I've come here to tell you tonight that the God who created me, the God who created you, the God who created the universe didn't create you to live in 10% of 100% reality. He created you to live in 100% of 100% reality. He created you to live the whole lot. The Bible says in John 10:10, it says, Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." In other words, I didn't just come so that you would have a little bit of life. I didn't come so you just make it through. I came so that you would have life and have it abundantly. I have actually come so that you can overcome fear. I have come so that you will not be ruled by those things. What are some of the things that we tend to fear? We fear failure. We fear people. And the Bible's got something to say about this. It says in 1 Timothy 1:17, it says, "For God has not given you a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and sound mind." Some of us fear authority. When I was a kid, I was scared stiff of police. I was probably always doing something wrong, so I was worried that the police were going to come and get me. I just used to get this feeling when the police drove around the corner. Oh, and I had this fear of authority. Some of us have a fear of death. And the reality is, nearly all of us have some sort of fear of death. That's the way you're wired. You're not wired to die. You're not wired to be going down that sort of spiral. You are actually wired to live. And Jesus wants you to live, and he wants you to live an abundant, full life. But listen to what the Bible says about some of these things. It says in 1 John 18, it says, "Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we're afraid, it is for fear of punishment." Do you understand that? I remember that feeling of being scared as I stood outside the principal's office. I was scared of punishment. After a while, I wasn't. And it's the fear of punishment that shows that we have not fully experienced perfect love. What this is saying is if we understand God's amazing love, if we experience who God is, if we get a right concept of who God is, that we're actually not going to live in fear, because we're not going to live in fear of a God who wants to judge us. We're not going to live in fear of a God who wants to pour out things on us. And sometimes our concept of God is all wrong. Sometimes our concept of God is that it's a God who's up in heaven and he's waving a big stick and he's just waiting for us to do something wrong, and he's just going to rap us over the knuckles or across the head or whatever with that big stick. We have a wrong fear of God. We've heard this verse tonight already, Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." And listen to this. "They are plans for good. They are plans for good, to give you a future and a hope." Isn't that amazing? That what God's plans are for you, God's plans are not for you to live in fear. God's plans are not for you to be governed by fear. God's plans for you are good. God's plans for you are that you would have a hope. God's plans for you that you would have a future. God's plans for you are that you would continue to live a life that is not governed by some of those things, some of those fears that we talk about. In Hebrews, we read this. It says, "Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood." And that's saying Jesus actually came out of heaven, and he came out of the spiritual realm, and because he's God, he could do this. He actually came into the physical realm where we live, and he became flesh and blood. In other words, he got a body just like yours and just like mine. He got emotions like yours and like mine. He actually had to deal with fears like you and I deal with. And Jesus came and he walked on this earth, and listen to what happens. It says, "He was made of flesh and blood. The Son also became flesh and blood. For only as human beings could he die. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying," listen to this, "could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only this way could he set free all that have lived." Sorry. "Only this way could he set free all of those who have lived their lives as slaves to a fear of dying." Isn't that amazing? That Jesus, who is very God himself, actually understood the stuff that we go through. He actually understood the plight of humanity. And he actually came out of heaven. When we say out of heaven, we think of this sort of some sort of way off place. But basically what it means is he came out of the spiritual realm. And he actually came into a world just like you and I live in. A world that was full of the same fears, a world that had a lot of the rubbish going on that we've dealt with today. He actually came and he lived in a country that was very oppressed. He actually came amongst a people who were being oppressed by the Romans at the time. He came and he lived at a time when stuff was actually quite difficult. He actually came and he lived at a time when punishment for criminals was as cruel as it ever been. He came and he lived at a time when what they would do to criminals is they would get them and they would nail them to a cross. And we see crosses all the time. We see crucifixes and they sort of look cool. But it wasn't cool to be nailed to a cross. What they would do is they would get the person and they would drive great big stakes through their wrists that went right through, probably about here, so you didn't pull away. Probably about that long, so they went right through and into the timber of the cross, and they would put that in either side, and then they would prop your feet up and probably tie them on with a rope, and then they would drive nails through your feet onto that cross, and then they would pick that cross up, they would hoist it up, they would pick it up, and they would drop it in a hole in the ground, and it'd go clunk. And probably every single joint in your body would pull out of joint as you were dropped into that hole. This was the God from heaven who loved us so much that he was prepared to come and face the worst that we as humanity could possibly throw at him. Why did he do that? Because he wants you to be able to live a life where you're not ruled by fear. You're not ruled by fear of death. You're not ruled by fear of failure. You're not ruled by fear of people. You're not ruled by fear of the future. You're not ruled by fear of authority. You're not ruled by any of those things at all. He actually came and he hung on that cross and he went through all that so that all of us could have a life. And the Bible says, have a life abundant. Or have a full life. That means have a life that is filled with everything that God can possibly give you. I'm not saying that you're going to have a perfect life. I shared with the guys this morning, I've made some silly decisions in life, but I've made a couple of really good ones. And one of those was as a young bloke, I made a choice to invite Jesus to come into my life. I made a choice to say, Jesus, I thank you that you hung on a cross for me. I thank you that you love me so much. And I want you to come into my world. I want you to come into my life right now. And I made that decision when I was probably about a 10-year-old. And it's the best decision that I've ever made. It's meant that I've been able to live a life where I can honestly say I've lived an abundant life. And I'm not finished yet. And I haven't had a perfect life. I've made lots of mistakes. Things have gone wrong. That's life. It happens. But I've lived an abundant life. And I've lived a life where I can lay my head down on the pillow at night. And I can honestly say, I certainly don't want to die. And I want to live and get all that God has placed in front of me. I want to live and make a difference. I want to see all that's in front of me, but I can lay my head down on a pillow at night and I don't have to fear a God who wants to judge me. I know that when my time comes to stand face to face with God, that I'm going to see a God who is going to welcome me with open arms and say, "Hey Dave, welcome home. Welcome home." And whether it's at the end of our life or whether it's what you're going through right now, there is a God that has his arms open. And if you've never come to him, he's saying, come on, welcome home. Welcome home. Why don't you come back to your Father who loves you? Why don't you experience a perfect love? See, I had great parents, but they made mistakes just like your parents have. But God has a perfect love. A perfect love. And the Bible says that perfect love overcomes fear. Can we just have a moment of silence, please? You're always being very quiet already, but let's bow our heads, close our eyes. I'm going to ask you tonight, would you be brave? Would you feel the fear and do it anyway? Why do a lot of people not come to God? Because they're probably scared of maybe what their friends think. Maybe we're scared of the unknown. Maybe we're scared that God won't really accept us. Can I tell you that God really will accept you? That He completely accepts everything about you. He doesn't think you're too tall, too short, too skinny, too ugly. He doesn't think any of those things. He sees you as a perfect creation. And His arms are open tonight and He's saying, would you come back to Me? So if anyone tonight, if you've never been able to say, Jesus, I want You to come into my heart right now. I want to experience perfect love. I want to experience a God that loves me. I want to thank You for dying for me, and I want to open myself up to You, and I want to follow You for the rest of my life. I want to become a child of God. Whether you're 5, whether you're 10, or whether you're 50, we can make this choice. Just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, tonight I just believe is the night for some people here to make that choice. If that's you, just slip your hand up. While no one's looking around, just give me a wave and say, hey Dave, that's me. Tonight I want to make that choice. I want to invite Jesus into my life. I want to open my heart to Him. If that's you, just slip your hand up. Just while no one's looking around, just say, hey Dave, that's me. I want to say yes to Jesus tonight. I want to experience, and I want to feel, and I want to accept a perfect love. Perfect love that overcomes fear. If that's you, just say, hey Dave, that's me. Just slip your hand up quickly. Anybody else? Praise God. Somebody else. I just believe there's probably one more person that needs to do that tonight. Is anybody else? Just give me a quick wave. Say, that's me. We're going to pray together for a couple of people that are making a choice here tonight. So I'll pray and you all pray with me. We'll stand with these people. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You love me. I thank You that You love me with a perfect love. I thank You You love me with a perfect love that overcomes fear. Right here tonight, I open my heart to You. And I ask You to come into my life. I thank You for dying for me. I'm sorry for my sin. But right here tonight, I choose to follow you. All of my life. Amen. I want you to do something else brave. Just while people are sitting down, I just want to pray for a group of people as we finish tonight. And maybe you'd like to overcome some fear.